Thanks.
The order breakfast at the McDonald's drive-thru. Tell yourself you'll wait to eat it at work, but it smells way too good. So you eat it right there in the McDonald's parking lot meal. There's a meal for every morning at McDonald's.
Right now, get any size iced coffee for 99 cents until 11 a.m. and pair it with your favorite breakfast sandwich or one of our tasty bakery treats. Price and participation may vary.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Welcome in, everybody, and good morning to another Saturday with That Movie Show here on North Shore 104.9, presented by Showcase Cinemas, Mike Wendt and Eddie McCabe. And Eddie, how are we doing this morning?
We are doing great. It is a great day for movies.
Did you survive the bomb cyclone this past week we had?
Was that what it was called? I was actually shooting a short film at Warehouse 11 in... Warehouse 11 in Somerville. And basically we were in this warehouse, we were shooting, and then I came outside and it was like every beginning of a zombie movie, because there were just downed trees and empty parking lots, and it was just like, wait a minute, did I miss something?
The wind was aggressive, let's put it that way.
Yeah, it was super aggressive. There were so many trees down.
It went on for like two straight days down here on the Cape, and it was a bit much. We didn't have it. Luckily, in the neighborhood that I'm in, we didn't have any downed trees. Lost power for about a day or so, luckily it all came back. But the wind just kept going and going and going. My gosh.
Oh man, it was like that ride that used to be at Universal where you just got to experience Twister. You know that great movie with that cow sequence where they're just looking at me like, there's one cow, there's another cow. That might be the same cow.
This ride is called The Elements. We're going to put you through them.
And then Bill Paxton ties a belt to a pipe and somehow survives a hurricane.
Paxton or Pullman?
Paxton, I think.
Are you sure?
Now you got me guessing. I'm pretty sure it's Bill Paxton.
Pullman? Maloney? McDermott?
Yeah. Bill Nye? I don't know.
It doesn't matter because that's not what we're doing today. We're not doing Twister.
We should eventually do Twister.
We should eventually do Twister. We'll probably find an anniversary or something for it. But we're switching up the format today, and we're going to do basically a mini version of the podcast. Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm looking at the Wikipedia right now.
All right, Bill Paxton, rest in peace. You just dropped your microphone. We're going to do a mini version of our podcast, which, of course, you can find at thatmovieshow.net. And this week, we're reviewing The Monster Squad from 1987. I have some thoughts. But before we get to that, we usually do this at the end. But we're going to do it at the beginning because we're going to do a bit longer review of the Monster Squad. We're going to jump right into recommendations. So, Eddie, I'm going to send it over to you for your recommendations for the week.
Yeah. So last Friday, a week ago, there was a movie that was released on Hulu. If you watch anything on Hulu, they have commercials, and they were promoting a movie that was coming up, and it was Little Monsters. And Little Monsters was a horror comedy
with Fred Savage and Howie Mandel.
No, not that one. I've never seen that one, but it looks weird, and I'm not into it.
With Fred Savage and Howie Mandel, did I break you?
Yeah, I can't. I can't do it. I don't know if I like Fred Savage, but there's that. This one stars.
But we have to do the tie-in though, because Jason Hervey is in the Monster Squad, so Wonder Years. It's all part of it. That's obviously the movie you're recommending, right?
No, it is not. It is
okay. I'm off.
It is the Lupita Nyong'o. Vehicle that also stars Josh Gad and Alexander England. It's an Australian film about a guy who is very, very like slacker, down on his luck, and he's trying to like hit on his nephew's like kindergarten teacher, right? So he ends up on a school field trip that he is very unqualified to be on, and while that happens, a zombie outbreak happens at this farm and they have to survive. For a movie that was on Hulu, it was awesome. It was such a great watch. It was really quick, very fun. It was a good movie, and I highly, highly recommend it.
All right. Little Monsters is a 2019 movie, and on Hulu if you have a subscription. My recommendation, I also watched this week. I'm not sure. I bought it on Vudu. It was available for $4.99, and it was recommended to me three times. I put a little post on Facebook saying I put the challenge out to my Facebook friends. If you can find a movie, a horror movie that I have not seen yet, I will try to give it a watch. And Bone Tomahawk was recommended more than a few times, and I went to Vudu. It was $4.99. I said, all right, let's do this. It has Kurt Russell in a Western theme. I am a huge Tombstone fan. I'm a huge Kurt Russell fan.
Oh, I love Tombstone.
Let's check it out. So I start the movie. Right off the bat, they have me because, you know, he recently passed away, and Sid Haig is in the opening scene of the movie. He is with David Arquette, but we'll let that go. And
former WCW World Heavyweight Champion David Arquette?
The same.
Wow.
And right off the bat, like the first 5 minutes, really good, really violent, includes Sid Haig. Okay, you got me, Bone Tomahawk. Let's do this. The next, like, hour or so is really slow, but it has Kurt Russell in like a Hateful Eight beard mustache type of look playing basically Wyatt Earp, and I'm like, I don't care how slow this movie is building, I'm all in on him doing that.
Okay.
Like that's Kurt, like he did the Santa Chronicles on Netflix, which I highly recommend people check out because Kurt Russell is my Santa Claus now. And it's basically the same thing, just with a lot more cursing and violence.
It's the same thing, just more cursing and violence.
So we move along. He meets Matthew Fox, of course, from Party of Five fame.
Nothing else.
Nothing else.
You know what? Speed Racer.
The Wachowski brothers movie?
Yeah.
I'm sorry,
he was Racer
Wachowski
X.
Persons movie? I don't know how to do it anymore.
Yeah, he was Racer X.
Racer X. Which one was Emil Hirsch?
He was Speed Racer.
Did I say, was it Emil Hirsch? Or was that?
Yeah,
Speed Racer. Is there any relation to Judd Hirsch from Taxi?
No idea, but I also don't care.
I certainly hope so. That would be a wonderful 6 degrees of Emil Hirsch.
It would be 1 degree of Emil Hirsch.
And I would love it. But anyway, so they move along. It's basically, it's like a big budget version of Cannibal the Musical, which was made by the guys from South Park, Trey Parker and Matt Stone. It was released by Troma. You can find it for free, like on YouTube and Amazon and everywhere because, you know, Troma. It's a wonderful little film. But it's basically a more budgeted and, you know, I don't know, vulgar version of that.
Okay. Yeah.
So they're kind of, they're wandering through the trails doing the whole Western thing and looking for, these Native Americans. It's very, anyone that's seen the first season of Westworld where the Native Americans are like kidnapping people and they're all like, they're donning like head to toe white paint.
Yeah. Like clay.
Yeah, very, very, very creepy looking. So when we catch up with them, it just goes completely off the rails. There is a scene in the last like 45 minutes of the movie that I've thought about for the entire week building up to this show, and I have no idea how to cleanly describe it on radio.
Okay,
it's rough.
It's rough. Okay.
For us gentlemen, it's a rough scene to get through. Let me put it that way. But well, really, really well done. It's I don't want to say it's a fun movie, but it's a really violent movie. It's a good violent movie to watch in October. What I did find out after the fact, doing a little bit of research, is it's the same director from a movie I recommended a few weeks ago, Dragged Across Concrete. It was the Mel Gibson and Vince Vaughn movie. It was the cop movie with our buddy Michael Jai White in it.
Michael Jai White.
Same exact. It's definitely the director's MO. It's like you build up slow, and then the last 45 minutes to an hour, you just go all in on the grisly stuff.
Yeah, gross.
When I posted that I watched it, somebody texted me and was like, oh, I just watched a movie just like that, Cell Block, Brawl on Cell Block 99 or something like that.
Yeah, with Vince Vaughn.
Same director.
Yeah,
same exact director. So he did Dragged Across Concrete, Brawl on Cell Block 99, and Bone Tomahawk, and they all kind of had the same pacing, which I like in a director. Keep consistency, but still switching up the genres. So that's my recommendation. It's not for everybody. It's not for the family. But
yeah, you know. If you don't like either of our recommendations, watch Twister.
Twister. There you go. If you want something fun for the whole family, it's got cows floating and it's not Sharknado.
Helen Hunt is in it. Carrie Ewes.
And Bill, not Pullman Paxton.
Yeah, not Bill Pullman Paxton.
Rest in peace, Bill Paxton. So that's my recommendation. That movie show, proudly sponsored by Showcase Cinemas right here on North Shore 104.9. You can find all of our reviews on thatmovieshow.net, and we highly suggest you getting a subscription to Showcase Subscribe. You see more movies a month starting at only $11.95. You can pick the best subscription plan for you. You can get individual plans. You can get group plans. You can gift plans to the ones you love. They will be happy about you gifting the Showcase Subscribe to them.
You can even see movies, a movie that I helped make, Habitual. Habitual is at Showcase Cinemas in the region, and you can use your Showcase Subscribe app to go see that. It was a movie made locally here. I helped, and it made its premiere last night, and so go ahead and check out that movie.
It is. It's running in Patriot Place in Foxborough. It's running in Lowell, and it's running in Revere through Halloween. So definitely go check that out. And Eddie and I will have a full review of Habitual next week on the show and on the podcast. So Showcase Subscribe. You can get tickets to all movies. You get tickets in advance. No blackout dates. All the good stuff. Go to ShowcaseSubscribe.com and get you a subscription. Eddie, you ready to do some Monster Squad?
Yes. I recommended this on the show, and I was very excited to actually sit down and review this. I like to think of it as Spooky Goonies.
It's okay. So, okay. Monster Squad was released August 14th, 1987. And having just rewatched it tonight, I don't remember the last time I actually watched it, but I rewatched it tonight for the show. And yeah, they just ripped off the Goonies.
Oh, it's Spooky Goonies. All it is.
They literally, Shane Black and Fred Decker walked into a studio executive's office, chopped up a rail, and said, "All right, what if the Goonies were jerks?"
Yeah, what if the Goonies were jerks
and monsters?
Yeah, instead of the mob, it's Dracula and a wolf man.
You love the Universal monsters. We love the Universal monsters. Goonies was a hit. Let's do it.
And it works. And it absolutely, absolutely works. This movie
Does it?
Yep. This movie, I am in. I am in from head to toe. From head to toe, I'm in on this.
Oh, man. The Goonies, by the way, came out 2 years earlier. And I just got to say, it's a carbon copy.
Yeah.
Every part of it. Sloth is Frankenstein.
Yep.
Chunk is Fat Kid. I mean, literally, that's his name.
Yeah, that was...
He even wears a Hawaiian shirt.
Yes.
I mean...
Then instead of mouth, they just have, like, you know, they have discount Corey Feldman.
Okay, so which one are you referring to? Because there's a couple guys that I feel that could be the Corey Feldman character. There's the kid, I believe his name was Patrick, who has the hot sister in the room in the...
Yeah, not him. The kid that wears the...
Rudy, like, the leather jacket?
Yeah, Rudy, the leather jacket kid.
Okay, I had to Google this, And apparently, I still don't believe it, even though Google tells me it's true. He's apparently not the son of Adrian Zmed.
I know. That's crazy.
They are identical
people. Identical.
Adrian Zmed, TJ Hooker, Grease 2, Bachelor Party.
Yeah.
Identical to the kid Rudy, who's the leather jacket wearing,
middle school smoking,
beer drinking middle school kid on a tricycle who apparently everyone's afraid of and might also be 40 years old. We don't know where his age range, because he just kind of shows up after school and beats up the bullies. Not really, makes the bullies eat his Snickers off the ground or something. I don't know.
Yeah, he bullied the bullies, but the only reason he wants to be a part of the Monster Squad is because the kid's sister is changing next door.
Yep. 80s, man.
80s. Yes, the 80s.
80s, man.
The movie is
Peeping Tom, man.
Right. This movie is pure 80s nonsense.
Like, from start to finish.
From start to finish. Because the opening scroll of that movie, where it's just like Dr. Van Helsing, like, was gonna rid the world of monsters. They screwed up. Like,
literally the scroll pauses on the phrase, "They blew it."
Yeah, they blew it. That was it. They
blew it.
They blew it. And then it cuts to them being like, yeah, we gotta get this random virgin girl to just read this scroll. And somehow we did it wrong, because what we find out later is that, like, Dracula needed to be in the room, and apparently he wasn't.
I didn't really understand it, and most of it was because it was the 80s. The text was just a virgin. It never specified, you know, boy
female
or girl.
Or male, right. But
because 80s.
Yeah, right. We had to be
bros.
Yeah, right. It does kind
of like that they went with, like, the four-year-old girl at the end of it, though.
Yeah, right. That's pretty funny. Who I think is the best character. The little sister is the best.
Here's what I found out through a little bit of research. With the exception of the adults, nobody had a career after this.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Like, this, I mean, this is as definition of bootleg Goonies as you get. It's all the Goonies, I mean, Josh Brolin, Sean Astin, Corey Feldman, you all know these names.
Yeah. It's also Steven Spielberg.
Steven Spielberg, Richard Donner. I believe Zemeckis might have been involved. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
Either way, the only people in this that had careers were the adults. I mean, the Wolfman was Uncle Rico in Napoleon Dynamite.
Yep, which is hilarious because he has got a second career now that Gardner Minshew is a thing.
Right. The mother of the lead character, who is basically the Sean Astin character in Goonies, was actually Sean Astin's mother in Goonies, and she also was in every Richard Donner movie era. She was the therapist in all the Lethal Weapons, and you know her if you watch movies in the 80s.
Yeah, Dracula looked like, you ever see Hocus Pocus?
Yes, I have.
You know when the dad dresses up like Dracula?
Mm-hmm.
Dracula looks like the dad in Hocus Pocus.
Here's the fun thing about Dracula. It was supposed to be Liam Neeson's.
Oh, God, that would have been amazing. He would have throat punched everybody.
Here's the thing.
He would have won. It wouldn't have been believable.
He didn't get the role. Then Liam Neeson's went on to almost get cast as the stunt double of Sean's dad.
Okay.
Didn't get that job, but still got paid for both. Who wins out of Monster Squad? Liam Neeson's. And if you get the Liam Neeson's, good for you. Anyway.
So let's
also talk about the fact that Shane Black wrote this. And Shane Black, of course, wrote Lethal Weapon and a number of other movies. Shane Black is obviously the most successful person coming out of Monster Squad.
Yeah. Aside from the Marvel, I mean, the Universal Monsters.
That's true, and I'm going to get to that in a second, but you see, okay, so Shane Black wrote Monster Squad. Shane Black wrote Lethal Weapon. Lethal Weapon came out a little bit after Monster Squad, I believe it was either the same year or right around there. They were both 87.
Okay.
So they were in the same area. So when Sean's dad, who I'm just going to call Riggs, shows up with his partner, I'm just going to call Murtaug.
Yeah, right.
Show up to their house and Dracula's coming out. If you look across the street behind them, it's actually the Murtaug house.
That's pretty funny. Well,
and the only person that actually gets murdered in Monster Squad is Murtaug.
Oh, yeah. That's the funniest thing in the world.
Tucker-esque comic relief partner.
Yeah, right. It's also really funny that he like is in the car radioing and like doesn't see the grenade or whatever. Like,
I love that Dracula knows all about dynamite.
Yeah, that's it. The
Dracula, like, he's hawking dynamite everywhere. It's like, right. Dude, you're Dracula. In the end, you just take your fingertips and kind of wiggle them a little bit and blow up a dude's chest. Like,
yeah, right.
Maybe do that to the clubhouse instead of, you know, going all 1892 on them.
Well, I think it's because, you know, and who knows if they actually cared about vampire lore this way, but you have to be invited into the house. So he can't be invited into the house. So he's going to just use dynamite to blow it up.
I don't know. I think the fingertip magic would have sufficed.
Yeah, well, you know, blow it up. Why not? I do think it's really funny that the wife... this is so 80s where it's like the wife hates that the husband is like a cop that has to work all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
jobs in marriages in the 80s were such a burden.
Yeah. It's just like,
completely. Oh, it's like, why are you providing for the family?
Yeah. What do you mean that somebody went into the police station, said that they were a werewolf, and then got shot, and now the body's missing, and now you have to go in and, like, what do you mean?
Steven, I don't care that someone was murdered and you need to figure it out because it's your job. Yeah. We had dinner reservations at 8 at Davio's.
It's like, wow, you are terrible. You're terrible.
Shane Black. He knew how to write women.
Yeah, right. It's just that's the thing. Like,
I mean, have you seen the Lethal Weapons?
Yeah, right. This is the type of thing.
It took him 4 movies to get Rene Russo right.
Yeah. Like, when the Me Too movement started and all of the female actresses were like, our parts are terrible. You could actually point to Monster Squad and be like, yeah, that one. Where this wife is just mad at her husband is going to divorce him because he has to do his job. That is not a three-dimensional character.
Well, not even a little bit. And that was the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of the Goonies, looking at showcasecinemas.com, you can go to the events tab. And the Goonies is coming up this month.
Oh, man. Not Spooky Monster Squad.
Not Spooky. No. The original.
The original.
The original. Thursday, October 24th. Sunday, October 27th. On the big screen, The Goonies. The movie you should be watching, let's be honest. The movie that The Monster Squad was based on 2 years later.
Yeah, but think
Josh
about it.
Josh Brolin, Sean Astin, Corey Feldman doing this movie correctly.
Yeah, well, think about it. It's 2019. We could get some sort of crazy mega crossover where the Goonies meet the Monster Squad.
I would absolutely love it. You know what, though? I think at Showcase Cinemas, me, you, that movie show, Goonies, Monster Squad, double feature with a live review. We said it right here on the radio, here on North Shore 104.9. I think it has to happen.
It does have to happen.
It has to happen. So, of course, Showcase Cinema is proud sponsor of that movie show right here on North Shore 104.9. And you can get our full reviews, including the extended version of the Monster Squad review on thatmovieshow.net. Eddie, let's continue on with Monster Squad while we still have a few minutes.
Yeah. I loved the actual monsters in this. You know, I think that they're kind of the stars. While the kids are, you know, very fun, we get a lot of very fun Universal Monster moments, you know?
It was one of the funny things I found in my research was they had to strategically change the look of Frankenstein due to copyright.
Oh, you can imagine.
That's why Frankenstein, when they bring him back to life, the bolts are on his head as opposed to his neck. Just a little change like that is important when it comes to copyright law. Also, I felt very watching this. I'm like, you know what? This is like the Avengers of monster movies.
I mean, it's funny because you remember that Universal tried to do the like the dark universe, and it's
exactly
like
exactly what I was thinking.
It's like you guys nailed it in this one. Yep. Like you should have just looked at this and been like, okay, cool, let's start here. Like,
yeah, instead of Tom Cruise or whoever they were getting to replace Brendan Fraser, they right. should have just gone back and got the Monster Squad. Shane Black has actually said that he wanted to do something kind of like what they did with It, where they revisited it 20 years later and all the kids were grown up and have to yeah. come back to the town and refight the monsters. I mean, this was heavily influenced by Stephen King, including the fact that Sean was wearing in the opening scene
yep.
Stephen King rules, or Stephen King, I don't know, Stephen King's
awesome. Yeah,
Stephen
King rules.
Was it Stephen King rules? Okay.
Yeah, it is. T-shirt. A buddy of mine has that shirt.
Did he iron it on himself?
No, he bought it somewhere, I would assume.
He paid $40 for that simple iron-on.
Yeah, probably.
I know I have. I have a Double Deuce Roadhouse iron-on that I paid $40 for.
I love Roadhouse.
All right. ThatMovieShow.net. You can find our Roadhouse review where we deep dive into
the real story of Roadhouse. The
real story behind Roadhouse and how everybody loves Dalton.
They just want to love Dalton.
So moving on to Monster Squad, the Frankenstein thing, it was definitely, I mean, obviously it was sloth,
right?
Because they literally copy and pasted the Goonies.
Yeah. The only thing that was kind of disappointing, cause every monster like has like a bit, right? Like Dracula is the big bad guy. Then, right. you know, Sloth is Frankenstein. Yep. And so like he like turncoats and helps the kids after he like befriends the 4-year-old.
Right.
And then Wolfman is that like evil henchman that's involved in the entire thing.
He was Joey Pants.
Right. The creature from the Black Lagoon did not get enough screen time. I mean, he might have been
funny, funny thing. You mean Gilman?
Yeah, Gilman.
Gilman, as he was in the credits, because of course copyrights being what they are.
Yeah, couldn't be the creature from the Black Lagoon.
He was Gilman.
That's the only one that I don't understand how he got there.
Like, well, I want to say, and I could be completely off. I did a little bit of research on it. The actor who was portraying Gilman, aka the creature from Black Lagoon, was the ultimate trooper in this movie because basically he was 100% head to toe glued into that rubber suit every day.
Yep.
So he wasn't able to come out of that suit, and an average filming day is 12 hours. To 14 hours. Yeah. So he couldn't eat. He couldn't go to bathroom.
Yeah.
He couldn't, you know, if he sweated too much, oh, well, pal. He was glued in because they didn't want to see any seams on the neck or the arms. Right. He was stuck in there. So my opinion, without any knowledge of it, is they probably didn't showcase him as much as we would have liked because the actor probably was like, no, you got me for like 2 hours a day.
Yeah, right. Like, get me in and get me out.
I'm here for 3 days. That's all I'm putting up with this.
Yeah, right. I mean, that does make sense. But that's the only character that just kind of feels out of place. Like, he just feels like this weird tag along,
mm-hmm.
you know, because everybody else makes sense,
right.
you know, like as to why they would be there. Like,
well, the other thing is most, I mean, the movie doesn't really take place anywhere near water, except that strategically placed pond that he comes out of. Yeah, so right. it's like, he needs to, I mean, he's a fish. He needs to be in water. He doesn't survive outside of water.
He's so also he's the easiest one to take down. Like, oh, yeah. they totally just shoot him a couple of times and he's dead.
No big deal. Shotgun to the chest by Horace, aka Fat Kid.
Yeah, which is weird that, like, that's his nickname that all of his friends call him. But then he, you know, the two bullies that are picking on him, like, he takes also, exception.
They call him that.
Yeah, and he takes like exception to that.
Yeah, the it's weird because this is one of those things about the 80s. It's a movie 100% geared at children that isn't a movie for kids.
Right.
There is cursing. There is homophobia. There is teenage, preteen smoking and drinking. There's Peeping Tom stuff. There's there's a lot of violence in it. You know what I mean? I mean, the 4-year old or however old the little girl is cursing up a storm.
Oh, she's the best.
It's not a kid's movie.
No.
But it is an 80s kids movie.
It is. It's definitely an 80s kids movie. Like, that was back in the day, and it's still true kind of today, where you have, like, a kids movie, but there's, like, a range of, like, what we mean. Yeah. And this is definitely, like, yeah, it's a kids movie. And by kids, we mean 14.
Right. Look, as someone who grew up in the 80s, we were a different breed.
Yeah. It was also a very different time where you could just have casual homophobia.
It's funny. I was texting somebody earlier today about the movie, and we kind of went off on a tangent because Jason Hervey's in it, of course, from the Wonder Years, and it brought me to a story, a quick story that we'll wrap up with. So I was at a after party for the Celebrity All-Stars versus the Boston Bruins alumni in the old Boston Garden. It was the last year they did it in the old garden in 1994, which put me at about 15 years old. And me and my friends were there because one of my friends' parents were involved in it. And our whole mission at the after party was to find and hang out with Dennis Leary. Because No Cure for Cancer had just come out. We were huge Dennis Leary fans. As, you know, as rebellious teens, we were smokers at the time. So we're roaming around this party. And I'm 6'3 at the time. I'm 6'3 now, but I was fully grown at the time. And Jason Hervey is a solid foot and a half shorter than me. And I'm just looking around, like eyeballing scanning all the heads. Right. And I bang into somebody and I look down on the ground and it's Wayne from the Wonder Years on the ground. And I help him up and I go, "Oh, Jason Hervey, what's happening, man? You see Dennis Leary?" And he's like, "Oh, he's over there at the bar." So we proceeded over to Dennis Leary. Went into, of course, it was in the New England Sports Museum, so there was no smoking there. So we all proceeded to the bathroom where we all smoked cigarettes, and I got a signed pack of Marlboro Reds from Dennis Leary. It was a highlight of my teenage years.
And so where is this pack of Marlboro Reds now?
Funnily enough, I was actually, as I was packing my stuff to move apartments the other day, I actually found it. And so it's in a box right now with all my other crappy memorabilia from the time. I found a puck from that night, too.
That's really funny.
So, yeah, it was a fun night.
We'll have to do the ref and see if we can get him on and have you sign something else.
I would love to. At the very least, we can get Lenny Clark on.
Yeah, he played my dad in a movie.
He did. So we have 6 degrees of both of us going on with Lenny Clark. So we can get Lenny Clark, who can get Dennis Leary, who can get him on this podcast, on this radio show on North Shore 104.9, because that's about all the time we got for you guys.
Yeah, definitely.
But if you want to continue listening about the Monster Squad, because we do have some more thoughts that I personally have been a bit reserved about my feelings about this movie on the radio version. Go to thatmovieshow.net and check out the remainder of our review on the Monster Squad. Eddie McCabe, Mike Wendt. You can follow us on social media, The Eddie McCabe, at Mike Wendt, hashtag That Movie Show. Let us know if you want us to review something, and we will probably do it because we're always looking for suggestions and we don't like to use the noodle too much. And we will see you next week at the movie. And we're back-ish.
We're back and unrated.
Listening, there's no break. But for Eddie and myself, we had just done a half an hour of the radio show of That Movie Show, which is on North Shore 104.9 in Boston, sponsored by Showcase Cinemas, where instead of talking about movie news, which there really this week, we just said, fuck it. Let's do half the podcast and try not to curse, even though I did once.
Oh, you totally did.
I totally fucking cursed. So you guys got the unedited version of the radio show because I'm going to have to bleep that shit for the radio.
Yeah. You're gonna have to bleep that fucking shit.
Oh, okay. Now I can relax a little bit more and talk about Monster Squad from 1987. So let me, because I didn't want to do all my bullshit business during the radio show just because it's fucking excessive and it's an OCD. But here we go.
Excessive OCD business that you have.
It really is. It's at the point that I have this OCD. I got to get it out of the way. I don't know why. It's only just jerking off these fucking assholes who make these movies. But anyway, it was released on August 14th, 1987. Had a budget of $12 million. Did not make money. It only made $3.8 million. It was written and directed. Well, it was written by Shane Black and Fred Decker. It was directed by Fred Decker, who wrote and direct The Night of the Creeps. And the two of them actually worked together. The last time they worked together was The Predator, that reboot of Predator. Yeah. It starred, I don't know, fucking nobody.
Yeah, right. Oh, this is a movie.
It starred nobody. And here's the thing. All the children in the movie didn't fucking go on to do anything.
No.
It was like, I actually was looking at all their IMDb's while I was rewatching the movie. They all, after the movie, did a bunch of like guest spots on TV shows, like one-off episodic TV shows, where it's like clearly their agents and managers were riding the Monster Squad wave, hoping that something would catch. And nothing did.
Right. This is like
they all died in the, like not literally died, but their careers all died in like 90, 91. And then it's like all of a sudden you saw in like 2009 to 2013, they started getting like ironic roles.
Yeah, of course.
Where they're being cast because they were in Monster Squad. They're basically, it's the fucking bootleg Goonies.
Oh, it definitely is.
And simple. I talked about
like, you know, they try. There's another movie, and I just listened to one of my favorite podcasts on the planet. It's How Did This Get Made? And okay. And they did Star Crash, which was a movie that it came out a couple of years after Star Wars, and the idea was, let's just try and like
mimic it
enough. You know what I mean? Like, we're gonna just try and do Star Wars and mimic it enough. To the point
we don't have the same budget, we don't have the same imagination, but let's do that.
Yeah, and it's just like they were talking about how in Star Crash, the director or the writer, the guy that was tasked with writing the movie, didn't see Star Wars. He read a novelization of Star Wars.
That is even funnier.
And then wrote Star Crash.
That's even fucking funnier.
Starring David Hasselhoff.
As you do.
And this is exactly the same, where it's like, oh, okay, let's get a bunch of kids going on an adventure, and, you know, instead of the mob, you know, looking for pirate buried treasure, that's kind of like an Indiana Jones adventure, let's make more of like a horror movie version, and we'll get the Universal monsters in there, and, you know, it'll be a Halloween Goonies. And so
to basically redo what I kind of did on the radio show, just the way I actually wanted to say it. So basically, Fred Decker and Shane Black walk into an executive's room, chop a giant rail of cocaine, and just go, all right, so you've seen the Goonies, right? What if they're assholes fighting monsters?
Yeah, right.
Green light. Yeah, let's fucking do it, man.
Yeah, and exactly.
We can tie in Lethal Weapon, because I just wrote that fucking movie too. Yeah. Because there's a black cop, there's a white cop. They're kind of funny. Oh, and you know what? We don't need the black cop. Let's just fucking kill him. He's the only person that dies.
He's the only fucking guy that dies. He is the only person that dies.
Like even at the end, I remember when Dracula blows up the black cop, we'll call him Murtaugh.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh shit, fuck that! Like, that's like the first real death in this movie. Like, he throws dynamite and blows him up in a car, like a real death. Yeah. And then at the end of the movie, the scary German guy, which that's actually his credited name, the scary German guy. When the little girl is reading the scripture in German, he kind of stands off with Dracula, and Dracula does, you know, wiggly fingers thing and like zaps his chest, and his chest kind of glows and blows up and knocks him back. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, fuck, that's two people he killed. But no,
he just popped back up.
He just got knocked down, which I don't understand the glowy blow up shit. where it's like, what did they like? Yeah. Did they think that Dracula was magic? And then was like, oh, wait, mythology proves us wrong. So let's kind of make this dude fucking live in the end, because or, I don't know, the Germans would be pissed.
We also can't we also can't kill the only person that knows German that's coaching the little girl to speak German.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it was like, we can't kill the dad. And then there's no other adult.
You should have killed the dad. I mean, all things considered, he was a good dad. But as far as 80s good dads go, he was kind of a prick.
Oh, yeah. You know?
He was just like the kid. He's sitting there smoking in the kid's bedroom. And the kid walks in. He's like, Dad, I thought you quit smoking. He's like, shut up. You want to go to the movies? It's like,
yeah.
What? 80s, bitch.
Well, he's like, you're going to watch your sister, because me and your mom are going to counseling at 8 o'clock in the evening. It's like, what?
We're gonna be back late. We're gonna bone. Turn your headphones up.
Yeah, we're gonna have angry sex because we just got back from a therapist.
And I'm gonna fucking smoke all the way through it.
Yeah, it's like, but then the mom, that's the one that kills me, is that the mom is terrible. Because
the mom from the Goonies, the therapist from Lethal Weapon.
Yeah,
that literally lady. Every 80s movie ever. I want to say she was probably married to Dick Donner, but I don't know.
Yeah, the whole thing with her just being like, I'm mad that you're doing your job. Mm. Just like, that's
a classic female in the 80s trope. It's like, God forbid the man has a job.
Yeah, it's like, God, man, you're written so poorly.
I'm pretty sure the mother in Gremlins was the same way. I mean, that guy was literally traveling the world selling garbage just to keep roof over your fucking head. And all he asked you to do once in a while was microwave a gremlin.
Yeah, right. I know.
Is it too much to ask to come home and have a hot gremlin on a fucking plate? Bitch!
Oh, God. That's a movie where Billy is the worst written character in that movie.
Billy? We did Gremlins.
We did.
It is in the archives. Now that I think about it, thatmovieshow.net. Subscribe on all forms of podcasts. Billy, I don't understand. And I don't want to dive too deep back into that because we did it already. But I'm pretty sure he's a special guy.
Oh, he definitely is.
See, because he's original. Mike said something else, and I had to drop it from the fucking audio.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true.
I'm learning and I'm progressing as this podcast goes on.
2019.
Billy's a special guy.
He's very special.
But he's 40 and plays with toys and 14-year-olds.
Right. Like,
and he's not a pedophile.
Right. Or a scary German guy.
Right.
But he's one of those characters. And there's one, there's a show that I'm watching now, Stumptown.
Nope.
So Stumptown is Colby Smulders' new show. She was Robin from How I Met Your Mother. And so she has a new TV show where she plays like a military veteran that lives in Oregon. And she basically is like becoming a private investigator. And right. It's good. It's a really good show. I think you guys should check it out. Problem is...
Where we find this?
It's on CBS or ABC.
Do I have to get CBS access? Because I'm not getting CBS access.
No, it's like on regular TV. You could get it on Hulu. Yeah.
Wasn't she Sam Jackson's right hand in the Avengers?
Yes, she is. Okay. She's, okay. Yeah. I probably
Agent whatever the fuck?
Yeah, she's Agent 13.
Hall?
No.
Is it Hall?
Hill.
Hill?
Oh, yeah,
fuck, I was close.
You were close. You were closer than I was. Yeah. But anyway.
You said 13.
Yeah, that's the blonde chick from Captain America 2. What? Yeah, never mind. I'm going down the rails.
I thought it was Get Smart's fucking shoe reporter or shoe fucking secretary.
Different. That's, yeah.
Was that, that was 99.
That was 99. But anyway.
You're not even worthy of a name, woman.
Yeah. Stumptown. Stumptown has a problem that basically Colby Smulders, her character is too old. Yeah. Like she should be like 24, but Colby Smulders. Woman. Yeah. Well, the character.
Oh, fuck. I'm off the rails on this one.
Yeah, you're off the rails. Never mind.
I'm sorry. Go on. No, she was doing what? Actually, can you center yourself a little bit? Because I'm going to lose you when we edit this. Yeah. Good, thank you. So Colby Smulders was fucking Sam Jackson. Go on.
It's basically talking about how Billy from the Gremlins
yes.
should have been casted younger than he was. And it's the same.
He should have been a child.
Yeah, he should have been a child, and Cold Shoulders in Stumptown is basically the same thing.
He shouldn't have been a fucking regional branch manager of a bank playing with toys and playing with Corey Feldman at 12 years old. No. Right.
He should have been a kid that worked at a grocery store, like bagging groceries in his spare time.
What was a Spielberg one, wasn't it?
It was. It's not good.
Wow.
It's not good.
Jim Henson. Long way from Schindler's List, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Monster Squad.
Monster Squad. All of the kids in this movie are like
assholes.
Oh, they are dicks.
They are fucking dicks from Jump Street.
Yeah, like we meet our heroes and they're in the principal's office getting reprimanded because they're drawing their teacher as spiders.
And immediately they leave and just start ripping into the homophobia. Like,
oh,
this,
yeah.
I mean, I get it. And we don't do this has an age well on this show. But it was the 80s, and yeah. I get it. As a kid of the 80s, we did talk like that. But wow, watching it last night.
Yeah.
Fuck me, it was rough, dude.
Well, the craziest.
Like, oh, man, really?
So you talk about this Tallahassee in Zombieland, right? Yeah. Because he talks similarly to that. Right. Not as aggressive, but this is a thing where everything I've heard from Zombieland 2 and to the movie's credit is the character is the same in Zombieland 2. I haven't seen it, mm-hmm. but the writing of the character never changed. Right. So he's consistent from all of Zombieland 1 into Zombieland 2. And the problem with this is these kids don't talk like that the whole movie. Right? Like, they're not as, like, aggressive and foul-mouthed the entire movie.
And I think I have the reason behind that. Fred Decker and Shane Black wrote it. However, there was only one line in the entire movie that the two of them wrote together. So the rest of it was... And I forget the line. It was very anticlimactic. It was when Fat Kid Horace said, "Hey, why don't instead of being Monster Squad, why don't we be the Mask Squad or the Science Squad? Why don't we like find bugs and stuff instead of being dead?" That was the only line in the entire script that the two of them wrote together. The rest of it was like two people writing stuff, and then they just kind of merged it.
Okay.
And my opinion, based off of looking at Shane Black's credits versus Fred Decker's credits.
Yeah.
A lot of the rough talk comes from the guy who wrote Predator and Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
Shane Black.
Yeah, of course. Probably the funniest, like, you guys fucked up moment in this entire thing is when the boy goes in and grabs the amulet. That amulet is the safest place it could have possibly have been.
Yeah.
Because it had all of the anti-monster stuff in it.
Right.
And this idiot goes and grabs it and then runs out with it so Dracula could go get it.
Literally, they went out to the town square. It's like they could have just brought the virgin into that little cave and had her read the book there.
Yeah, right.
And but again, you know, roll credits.
Yeah, roll credits.
We don't have a movie. Okay.
It's also really funny that square is the Back to the Future square.
Go on.
It's the same square from Back to the Future.
Square.
Like town square?
I researched that too. It's not it looks very similar, but it is it's the one from Desperate Housewives, the church.
Yeah.
It's another church in
it's Warner Brothers.
I think so. It is Warner Brothers lot.
Okay.
Because it was Lethal Weapon, because the Murtaugh house
is there,
is across the street from the fake Riggs and Murtaugh house. Fake Murtaugh gets blown up and is the only casualty in this entire movie.
Yeah.
It was a Warner Bros. Lot. But it's close. And weirdly enough, a lot of cat fighting went on in that church in Desperate Housewives, apparently.
Oh.
Shocking.
Fun facts.
Yeah. I never watched it.
That's what you get from the podcast version of that movie show.
Yeah, right.
You get the Desperate Housewives talk.
Yeah, right. You know what you came here for.
You know that shit. Okay, so I fucking hated the ending.
Oh, the ending is stupid.
Because the whole time they're building up to this big, like, the Virgin reads the book and Limbo opens up and sucks all the monsters into hell. Basically, you know, right. The end of Evil Dead 2, the beginning of Army of Darkness,
yeah.
That, which again came out before this, which means Shane Black just watched a bunch of fucking movies and said, give me this.
Yeah, it's like just like Tarantino, but executed worse.
Yeah, exactly. Here's the thing. It seems like less of an homage and more of a I'm just copying shit.
Right.
I mean, fucking the fat kid in this, which hilariously is his credited name, fat kid, even though he has a full name, Horace.
Yeah.
He's literally Chunk from Goonies. Yes. And including the Hawaiian shirt, every mannerism. Like, this is fucking Goonies.
Yeah.
Like, all the characters. But they're building up to this big climactic shit. And when the little girl finally reads the passage and the Army of Darkness fucking thing Portal opens happens. Up and everybody starts getting sucked in, out of like left fucking field, Van Helsing shows up again. And and he grabs Dracula and gives everybody the thumbs up. And then the kid gives him a thumbs up. And I'm sitting there giving the fucking TV the finger. And I'm just like, this is bullshit. Nobody fucking told me that Van Helsing was trapped in limbo waiting, just kind of like sitting there like waiting for a fucking bus. It's like I didn't get that from the 2 seconds of opening fucking thing.
Yeah, it didn't. Yeah, it didn't explain it well. The portal was kind of weird, but I thought it was dumber when the army showed up.
OK, I mean that. The little kid who is David Faustino's brother of David Faustino from Married with Children is actually his real life brother. Wearing the Confederate hat was a little dated.
Yeah.
A little dated, but okay, fine. Army kid. And yeah, he just writes a letter in crayon, mails it to Army, care of USA.
Yeah, right.
And they show up.
They showed up because they believe him? It's weird. Full on.
Tanks and regalia because some kid wrote in crayon, come to, I don't know what town it was, I'm guessing Derry, Maine.
Yeah.
Monsters are here, period.
Yeah, in crayon. So I would have went.
I mean, you know, in 2019 that probably would happen, but you know what, this ain't a political show, pal. Yeah, so I would have accepted the ending a hell of a lot more if everyone just got sucked into the portal. It was the Van Helsing reappearance that I was like,
right?
Because every time I watch it, it takes me a second
to remember who it is.
To remember, I'm like, who the fuck is that guy? Why is Rutger Hauer here?
Yeah, right.
That's Rutger Hauer. Now I want to watch a Rutger Hauer movie. Why am I watching? What the fuck is going on here? And why is everybody giving the thumbs up? Fuck this movie.
Yeah, that's the part that's the frustrating one is, how does Van Helsing know what the fuck a thumbs up is? Get the fuck out of here. Go back to Limbo.
The whole ending was just weird. And here's the thing. I believe it was probably more explained in, for lack of a better term, the uncut version of it, because the studio cut, I believe, 20-something minutes out of this movie because they wanted it below 90 minutes.
Yeah, okay.
I guess the intro was, like, supposedly epic.
Yeah, of course it was.
There was, like,
they were, like, siege and
horses and
yeah,
all kinds of shit happening.
Right, of course.
Dustin Diamond had a role in the school.
Okay. Yes,
Screech.
All right.
Apparently, the studio cut him out because they had a fucking magic eight ball and it said this kid's going to turn into an asshole later in life, so cut him out of your movie.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, there was like an extra 20 minutes of this movie that has never been unearthed, that was actually filmed, shot, and put into test screenings. And they were like, nope, we need this below 90 minutes. You don't deserve any more.
Yeah, because you are just spooky Goonies.
You don't deserve any more than 82 minutes. And they actually drastically slowed down the end credits crawl just to add the runtime.
That's so funny.
So it was like, and we get this original song that's 3 minutes. Play it twice.
Get through.
There's, they had the end credits were took as much time as Endgames. However, it was half as long.
A quarter. There's no way. There is a half of the people that were involved in the Endgame.
The visual effects department was a guy.
Yeah, that was a dude.
But his name was on screen for about 12 minutes.
Yeah, right. He really did good work. Oh, fuck. I think that's Monster Squad.
That's Monster Squad, man, from 1987. Yeah. That's a goddamn thing right there.
Yeah, so yeah. I liked it.
I guess, you know, it's available on Amazon Prime if you have that. Watch it for free.
Yeah, absolutely.
If not, go buy Goonies.
Yeah, go buy Goonies.
What are we doing next week, Eddie?
What do you want to do next week? Because I have a recommendation if you don't got one.
I don't have shit. This October is all you. I did last year.
Okay. Yeah. So I think that, you know, it's playing all the time on TV. Yeah. The children love it. Let's go with Hocus Pocus.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah.
No. I was actually, speaking of the radio show, I was talking with Erica and Lindsay from the morning show on North Shore 104.9, and I think they said they wanted to do like a live watch along with us on that.
Yeah, so let's figure that out.
We'll do that, or we'll just do what we normally do and not,
and then just do the thing without them.
And I'll randomly text you on a Wednesday night saying, "Hey, guess what? The watch along's not happening. Let's just do it tomorrow night."
Yeah, that's exactly what'll happen.
All right, so next week, Hocus Pocus plus. I believe we're going to be doing some kind of a bonus episode with Habitual.
Yeah.
Which is a locally filmed. You worked on it. It's showing in the showcase cinemas here around Boston.
I have no idea what I'm going to be credited as. If I'm going to be credited at all.
I'm hoping for Key Beard. I said it last fucking week. I hope for Key Beard. It's the only appropriate credit for a man of your stature. Sure. So follow us on social media at Mike Wendt, at the Eddie McCabe, hashtag That Movie Show, and let us know what you would like us to review, because clearly we don't really like making these types of decisions, so we want you, the listener, to make those decisions for us. You can subscribe to That Movie Show on all podcasting apps. I actually added 3 additional podcasting apps, including like TuneIn, this past week, so there's like all of them. You can literally say, Alexa, play That Movie Show, and it will. Hey, Google, play That Movie Show. See, I'm getting their fucking things to do it.
Yeah, of course.
They like it or not. Facebook.com/ThatMovieShowTV. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. We're on YouTube. We're everywhere. ThatMovieShow.net is the place to get all that shit, including our audio feed is now up there, which every Saturday we upload the radio show as well, which you hear us talking about a bunch. So you got that. Anything else?
No, that's it. Right. Go watch Little Monsters on Hulu.
Little Monsters, not the Fred Savage one.
Not the Fred Savage one. The Josh Gad and Lupita Nyong'o one.
Kind of the Fred Savage one. All right, we'll see you next week.
Enjoy.
Thanks.
Order breakfast at the McDonald's drive-thru. Tell yourself you'll wait to eat it at work, but it smells way too good. So you eat it right there in the McDonald's parking lot, Neil. There's a meal for every morning at McDonald's.
Right now, get any size iced coffee for 99 cents until 11 a.m. and pair it with your favorite breakfast sandwich or one of our tasty bakery treats. Price and participation may vary.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
A different future starts with you. That's why GoDaddy does more than help you find a name. You can create, sell, and get found online so any small business can drive change or build an empire. We need a new generation of thinking. Your way of thinking. Start different at GoDaddy.com.